The market is moving fast. And all of that speed puts you right in the middle of the action.
I feel the need for speed.
Trying to pick out the stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs that are your real targets from the ones that will make your portfolio crash and burn. Investment research firm New Constructs looks for the telltale signs in corporate filings that show which way a security will move next.
Warning, warning.
Whether it is flying a true course or misleading the investment public about its prospects.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
New Constructs separates all securities into those that are attractive and the ones that are, well, dangerous.
Danger, danger.
Every Monday on Money Life, company president David Trainer shoots down one security whose actions he thinks have it headed for trouble.
What you have done is wrong.
Whether you simply sell it or get aggressive and sell it short, you'll want to know which securities to have on your radar as Money Life enters.
That's right, we're heading for trouble. Staring it down, shooting it down, steering clear, and coming out safely at the other end. This is the Danger Zone, where I'm joined each week by David Trainer, president of New Constructs. Why is it the Danger Zone? Well, at New Constructs, they evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. And they evaluate those securities from the bottom up, from the grassroots level, starting in the footnotes and then working their way up. And what they typically find is that stocks that have misleading numbers, where the top-down picture presents something that you don't find when you're digging at the grassroots level, those are dangerous companies. Attractive ones are ones where the top-line stuff is maybe making the business look not quite as good as it should be looking. If you want to learn more about how it works, go to newconstructs.com. They're on Twitter, at newconstructs. David Trainer, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Perrigo Company.
Danger, danger.
It's Perrigo Company. It's ticker symbol PRGO. Now, I got to say, I know of at least one investor who's going to completely disagree with this call. The reason for that is last week on this show, we had Peter Jacobs from Jacobs Brohl Asset Management. He is a value manager, calls himself a bit of a value contrarian, and he was talking about how he liked Perrigo Company. So here you are saying, Now he's a value guy. Does that mean what you see here is a value trap, or is there something bigger and different here?
The word value gets thrown around by a lot of people in this business. I've been in the business for close to 20 years, and a lot of people masquerade as value investors because they want their clients to think that they're diligent and they read 10-year reports and think things about them that those clients can never really verify. You can verify my work when you read our articles. You can click through and see not just the filings from which we pull data, but the models that show that are behind the calculations. And I can categorically tell you that Perrigo Company is not a value stock, not by any reasonable or standard definition of value.
But is that the problem, or is it the fact that other people are defining it as a value stock, and as you look at it, you don't see any value there?
Maybe that's the danger here, Joe, is that it's been misidentified as a value stock.
Explain how that's happening.
Well, the profitability of the business is being misrepresented in a pretty proactive way by the fact that the company is trying to tell you to look at non-GAAP earnings. I mean, I don't know what more we can say about non-GAAP earnings beyond, you know, look at Valiant. This is what happens when executives are paid and management tries to steer investors towards focusing on non-GAAP earnings. Not surprisingly, Perrigo's got non-GAAP earnings moving up and to the right, you know, on the chart, positive and rising, while both the accounting and the economic earnings are declining. Economic earnings are negative and declining. Their returns on capital have gone into the tank, right? The cash flows and the cash flows relative to the capital invested have gone to the tank. This is not to say that Papa, his whole tenure at Perrigo was good. It was good for a while. But as Warren Buffett loves to say, you know, 10 years of good decision-making can be ruined by one bad decision. And in the case of Perrigo, they've made multiple bad decisions, especially as it relates to acquisitions. Made some huge acquisitions that have destroyed cash flow and hurt investors, even while executives have made more money.
Is this stuff that is buried in the footnotes level and the bottoms-up stuff? I have not looked at the balance sheets on this stock, but if I were, would this potentially be something that I'd be oblivious to because if you're just looking at it from the top down, if you're just walking in the front door, everything looks okay.
Everything does look okay on a gap net income and a non-gap earnings level. When you take into account the full picture, it doesn't look as good. Remember the men's warehouse call, Chuck?
Yes.
How we just nailed that? Well, you know, and that was that's been a disaster for shareholders. Well, there's a mirror image situation here between Men's Warehouse and Joseph A. Bank and Perrigo and Mylan. So in 2015, Mylan offered $26 billion for Perrigo. Executives fought the deal, spent $87 million, claimed it wasn't in the best interest of its shareholders. Today, Perrigo's market cap is $14 billion. Shareholders lost $12 billion, but guess who got richer?
Management.
Yeah. They were rewarded for, quote, their key contributions related to Mylan's takeover attempt and received $3.5 million in bonuses.
So how ugly is this? I mean, what's a real value on the stock?
To justify the current price of $97 a share, the company's got to grow profits at 14% compounded annually for 13 years, while, you know, which we think is tough considering the profits have been in a pretty steep decline over the last several years.
And what's a potential catalyst here?
It's already had a pretty big pop because Papa left, and people think Papa was a great CEO. He's not, and he's actually going into a situation with Valent. As you know, we warned people before that blew up. You know, they're recreating the same thing with Papa that they had going with the last CEO in terms of his compensation structure. We know where that got us. So the catalyst, we think that there's going to have to continue to set the bar with respect to earnings and earnings guidance, that they're not going to be able to continue to acquire because they've blown out their debt on the balance sheet. They've grown the shares outstanding by something like 16% compounded annually. So I think that they've, for the most part, tapped out how much they can dilute shareholder value and still grow accounting earnings. So, you know, they're going to hit a ceiling in terms of revenue and earnings, and people are going to start to look a little more closely and realize the economics of the business are bad and that the likelihood of a buyout at any kind of premium is low.
And how low could it get quickly?
If they grow profits by 8% for a decade, it's only worth $35.
Wow. So that is basically a two-thirds haircut. It's why Perrigo, ticker symbol PRGO, is in the danger zone. David Trainer, thanks as always for joining us.
It was great to be with you, Chuck. Thank you.
As David pointed out, if you want to see more about his picks, all you need to do is go to newconstructs.com. They blog about their picks there. All right, we are heading for home on the Monday, May 2nd edition of Money Life. Up next, it's the Money Life Market Call. Peter Tuz from Chase Investment Counsel will be here when we return right after this message.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.